Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Stacking the Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, how does it feel being a fan of possibly the worst Super Bowl winner of all time?
Wow. Wow, you see, you can't...
I got to throw the salt. I got to get the salt in early.
Here's the thing.
First 9-7 team to ever win the Super Bowl. They are going to go down as one of the few Super Bowl teams that Vince Young was able to beat during the regular season.
And the Redskins swept, but they came together. They had a lot of... part of the reason I had low hopes for the season is just all the injuries to start.
Yeah.
And the fact that they made it through that, the fact that Miles Austin lost the ball in the lights, the fact that, Victor Cruz juked two dudes out of their brain and ran for a touchdown against the Jets.
Oh, the San Francisco punt returner?
Yeah.
Getting away from that punt. The second one in overtime was deserved. But that first one is insane.
But again, it comes down to the team that makes mistakes, right? And the Giants really didn't make any mistakes in that postseason run.
Yeah.
But to be fair, what did you think of the game?
What did I think of the game? Well, I was borderline blackout drunk.
Let's set the stage. So we should both set the stage. Let's do a timeline.
All right. Well, first off, let's clear out all your Saturday gambling stories in Vegas.
Okay.
All right.
Then
we'll do a live recap of the Super Bowl.
So first of all,
as painful as it is,
I am officially the only person who owns a red Eli Manning jersey. So if you ever see a guy with a red Eli Manning jersey in Vegas, it's me. So we get out to Vegas. We drive out there early on Saturday. We get out there. We're nowhere near the Strip. We're staying way south at this place called Cancun. It's near South Point. That was kind of the destination of where we're going to watch the game, this and that. So we start off the night, or I guess it's day. Vegas hours mess you all up. Midday. It's probably around noon. We're like, hey, let's go check out the Silverton. It's the casino right across the street. It's the one with the Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I'm sure everyone's seen it driving by. So we go in there. We're playing some Pai Gow. I pretty much my move in Vegas is to spread the word on Pai Gow to everyone who will listen. it's a great game. Slow, get you drunk. So anyway, Silverton. First of all, highly recommend the Silverton. They give you the Red Bull and vodkas were full, like 16-ounce pint glasses.
Oh, tasty.
And, so we're playing for a little bit, and the pit boss is like, hey, you guys should get some players' cards. I'm like, all right, whatever. Oh, by the way, thanks for getting the players' cards. We'll give you a free buffet. So I'm like, oh, this place is great.
It's a good way to start things
off. All right, so we gamble. We all win a little bit of money, I think. We decide, let's go get this lunch. We go over to the players' club area. Start swiping our cards, getting our free buffets. Well, Ryan comes up. Maybe I was wagering a couple dollars more than the guys I was there with. Sir, Mr. Kramer, you have qualified for a free gift and a promotion to our gold status. Oh, shit.
Now, what's the free gift?
Oh, you would never guess, Sean. I got an 8x8 baking dish.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What is a baking dish? Like just
like something you might bake brownies in?
What? Why would they give you that?
I don't not. It didn't say Silverton Casino. Just a plain glass.
That would be. I mean, most of the people, or a good deal of the people, fly into Vegas. Why would you give them a bake? I mean, I imagine most of the.
I have a feeling the Silverton's the locals' casino. You know.
Yeah. Or guys coming in on RVs, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they got RV parking. They got the big Bass Pro Shop. They got the boat shop. You know, the whole nine. So that happens. We eat the buffet. Underrated buffet. Now, granted, it was free, but it did the trick. It was good. Anyway, so we get back. We decide for the fights, we're going to meet up with some people. We're going to head down to Palace Station.
UFC fights.
Yes, UFC 43, maybe? I don't remember. Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we go down to Palace Station. Palace Station is also owned by the Frittata Brothers, I believe their name is. So we get down. Luckily, we had made some bets ahead of time, but you can't even bet on the UFC down there.
Really?
Because they own the UFC.
Oh.
Anyway, so...
Still, that's... I don't understand those weird Vegas regulations.
Yeah. Insider knowledge, I guess.
But you could still... Yeah. Well, you couldn't walk down to the next casino and place a bet?
I guess the idea of taking action on it is what makes it illegal. Anyway, so we had our bets in. My notable large bet in the night was I placed... Nick Diaz was a minus 210 favorite. I laid $630 to win $300.
You always got to take the under. I mean, I'm not that guy, but
yeah.
They say the good logic.
The safe money's on the dog, just because it's a fight. Because right?
UFC, yeah.
So we watched the fight. The whole card was relatively boring. I won a couple of the undercards. We get to the main event: Nick Diaz versus I don't know what the fuck it. Condit. Not very exciting. Kind of a fight where Condit ran away. Nick Diaz kind of hit him. Condit hit him. You know. Not very exciting. Could see it going either way, 3-2, 3, something like that. Well, the judges come out and say 4-1 in favor of Condit. I lose it. I'm sitting there like, oh, fuck, this is not a good sign. This is going to be a bad Vegas trip. The Giants are going to lose the Super Bowl. Head downstairs. For those of you who didn't listen before, decided to place a $5. The max at this casino was $5. Put $5 on the fire bet on craps. Fire bet's essentially a long shot sucker bet that the shooter will roll 4, 5, or 6 unique points. Shooter starts rolling. We start winning. Boom, he knocks out some points. He's got 4 points knocked out in like 20 minutes. Guaranteed, nice $125. Come out, roll, hits that 8. We need that 8. Roll some number, boom, 8. So just like that, I win $1,250 back. I'm back in the black.
Wow. When he had hit that fourth, so he hit 4 points on the fire bet. He needed one more number to hit 5 and totally clear out the fire bet, winning you $5,000.
Six would have gotten me $5,000.
Oh, sorry. There's
so he hits the fifth, and then it's fifth is 250-1.
Okay,
so
that's what he hit. $1,250.
Right. And then his next point was another 8. He ended up crapping out, so we only got the $1,250 instead of the 1,000-1. But so we hit that cash us out. Kind of like, all right, time to walk away. We just, you know, that pretty much was the way the night ended. I think we went down to the South Point to check out the dig, see what we'd be doing the next morning. But we pretty much, that was pretty much the end of the night. We turned it in, and so then Sunday comes. The plan is, essentially, the group of guys we're going with, they watch the game in the same kind of Vegas show theater room at South Point every year. No cover. First come, first serve. So a couple guys get there around 8:30, 9 o'clock. So cut to like 9:30. I roll up, decide to...
9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I should point out that the night before, we placed all our bets to make sure there was no stress involved in getting all the prop bets in.
Even though you're 6 hours early.
So I should highlight that. I placed around $1,500 in bets between Giants Moneyline, over-unders, and props. Cut to 9:30. I get there. The guys were meeting. They brought a full cooler of beer. Casino has no problem with that. So we start drinking. And like
tailgating inside of a casino.
I'm sitting there eating a bagel with cream cheese and lox and pounding a shock top. And so we pretty much sit around and wait. Doors open at noon. So at noon... we go in, we get these tables up front. It's this whole deal where they, not only can they not call it a Super Bowl party, they have to say, come watch the big game. But they can't actually make money on, they can't directly make money on food and drink. It's this weird thing where they sell tickets. I didn't really understand. Anyway, you buy these tickets, each ticket's $1. They have all this food, all this beer. It was a good time. It was a really fun experience. I highly recommend it. But anyway, so cut to 12:30, 1 o'clock. We're kind of sitting there. We're getting ready for the game, and we're eating a bunch of food and getting. And at this point, I'm pretty drunk already, and I kind of decide I gotta slow it down. I don't want to have to shit myself or puke during the game.
Yeah, this is serious. It's a Super
Bowl. So what are you doing at noon?
What am I doing at noon?
When did your day start?
Let's see.
We should get the timeline.
Sure. Apparently. Yeah. All right. I'll check in about 11 a.m. Guys start coming over.
All right.
I take the. We have a backyard that's kind of, it's hard to explain, but it's a few flights of stairs down, and it's over, but we have a pool in the backyard. So you take the grill, break the grill out, carry it up, set it out on the porch, set a TV on the outside porch as well. So yeah, I start drinking around 11 o'clock, start drinking some beers. I got an automatic grill brush. I put a little video out of me using the automatic grill brush. Start just yelling Super Bowl at people. Start getting drunk. Start shaking people when they come over. Getting in people's heads. talking about how good my numbers are for the Super Bowl squares. The wings are marinating. Just keep checking on the wings, making sure they're doing all right. So that's about it. You know, you got the we got the outside TV so people can hang out on the porch, you know, have a cigarette, be outside, and then set up some nice theater-style seating in the living room with big screen. Yeah, it was pretty cool. We ended up getting a good turnout for the old football Sunday. You know, the regular dudes, and then, chicks showed up. So it's always interesting explaining football to chicks and stuff like that.
Especially gambling.
Yeah. That's the worst part when, after the game, all the girls are like, "So, do you win a lot of money?" I don't want to talk about it. Get out of my face. All right, so... Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember watching any of the pregame, really. I was just consumed with drinking and setting everything up, just, you know, getting fired up. The Super Bowl pregame's...
So, yeah, that was at the point where I decided, okay, you're going to need a couple cigarettes to get through this day. I also started regretting the idea that I would do any sort of tweeting during the game, because an hour and a half... So let's cut to 2 o'clock. The game's
I think I tweeted like twice. I totally forgot about it.
So we should bring this up, though. I was using the hashtag SGP for Sports Gambling Podcast.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, guess what?
What's up?
We have some competitors for that hashtag.
Oh, really? Who else is using it?
I think we need to call them out and have an official bat. Soccer girl problems. What the... And there's a shitload of... I blew my mind. I had no idea what was going on.
So we're going to get some interesting people clicking on the podcast?
I wanted to see if you had said anything sometime around halftime, and I pull it up, and it's all this fucking bullshit about some chick's problems. I immediately regret committing to doing anything. And at this point... I would say about 2 o'clock, I realize I'm going to need at least one cigarette so I don't vomit and or lose my brain.
Maintain.
Yeah. Now, at this point also, the groups are kind of like, everyone's like starting to file in. A lot of people, like once we got our seats, a lot of people went out and started gambling, maybe placing some last minute bets. So basically the last, like between 2 and 3, it was really just people filing in. And, of course, at 3 o'clock is when they cut over to, like, the official game, and they start... It's just like the Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth pregame, and it that's when it starts getting real. So, I don't know. I don't know what kind of action people had on the national anthem here, but...
Yeah, well, that was... I don't think a lot of people took the national anthem. There was some late action. One dude, our buddy Adam, who won last year on the Orange Gatorade, he wanted to... hit the under. The under on through this thing or whatever was sitting at plus 140. Now the over under for the national anthem, the line we were getting was a minute 35.
Most places had a minute 34. The bookmaker in question had 135 with a nice plus 140 on the under and minus 180 on the over.
Yeah, now I don't know what happened, but between like when I printed out the sheet of bets to hand out to people and when he went and tried to place it, it had moved to plus 110 only for the under.
Oh, wow.
So there was some late action of people hammering that under. And it is hilarious, the national anthem, because everyone... Now you were in Vegas, so I imagine...
So let me set the stage. So, you know, they sing God Bless America first, I believe.
Yeah, there was a lot of false hope there. People that, like, wait, what's going on?
That always tricks everyone, because they're like, well, wait a second, that's not the national anthem. So anyway, they don't give you much time, but everyone's got their cell phones out, and boom, she starts, and everyone's timing. And it starts, everyone who has the under is feeling great in the beginning, because it's like, holy, she's going a nice pace, she's definitely going to hit it. And then, boom,
felt like she was rushing a
little
bit. This
marching band starts playing the drums all fucking slow. And next thing you know, it's like, well, now, wait a second. We only got 13 seconds left, 12. So it's kind of this countdown. And then, boom, she luckily holds the note brave shorter than normal. And I timed it at 134.3. Other people had it 133. Some people had it 135.
So, well, this is funny because it's everyone. First off, it's a bunch of just drunk,
and this is
degenerates,
why
and then that's why it always adds to it, is because no one can get an official time. Now, if NBC knew it, If they actually had any decency, they would just put up a clock, set an official clock. It would make things easier for everyone.
I mean, it's not like Al Michaels isn't betting on it. He made so many gambling references, by the way. But so at this point, everyone's like, I don't know what to do. Some people had just bet each other, and most people were just agreeing it was going to be a push. So and this is why Vegas doesn't offer these bets, right? There's no real official clock.
Yes.
So the offshore bookmaker that we may or may not have been using to wager on this, it had the bet as a push right away. Immediately, I look it up. It's a push, and I'm like, ah, that sucks. Well, check back 2 minutes later, and boom, came in as a win. I saw a couple people tweet online that the bookmakers were going with an official time of 1:34 flat.
Wow.
So most bookmakers pushed it. We happened to get lucky and win it. It was so at that point, I'm feeling good. At this point, I've already tweeted that I took the under and that I won with a ka-ching. So I'm feeling good. I'm like, this Twitter thing's cool. I'm kind of bought back into it. And, and then, you know, it's time for the kickoff.
All right, now coin toss. Did you have any action on that?
So I impressed a lot of my a lot of the people at the table by saying, number 51, Zach Diassi will make the call, and he will call tails. I had tails against someone for some small, ridiculously small amount of money. Whatever.
Yeah. I had heads. I hit that.
We kind of talked about it last week, about the whole Giants accept the ball and New England deferred. Kind of mad I didn't play some money. I think at the South Point you could have bet on like minus 240.
Yeah, I think I saw Giants starting with the ball was online. I saw it at minus 220.
Yeah, and that
it seemed like a lot. Here's the thing, though. The only reason I wouldn't do that is Belichick likes to get cute, you know. So it's one of those.
Did you see the stat though? He hadn't not deferred since 2008.
Yeah, well, a 9-7 team hasn't won the Super Bowl since this game, Ryan. So
here we go.
All right. So
anyway, so I lose the coin toss, but I don't give a shit about it. Giants get the ball. I feel good about that. I'm expecting them to go. So that's where it gets interesting, too. I immediately, my instincts kick in, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't know if this is an actual bet, but who wants to take over under 20.5 yard line starting position for the Giants? I'll take the over against anyone. So I get some action. Because most people are thinking it's going to be a touchback, right?
Touchback was a pretty big favorite.
And boom, they kick it, and it's not going deep in the end zone. And he catches it, and that was the most exciting 23-yard run back ever. I won a couple bets there, and now I'm feeling good. I think, you know, I like the Giants' offense versus the Patriots' defense. I like the matchup, and you know, they start driving, and they kind of. You know, I forget exactly what stalled that drive. Oh, Eli gets sacked twice early. And this is actually a real, real great moment. A friend of ours, Steve, who was our the third partner in the Vegas. You know, it's not the Las Vegas Hilton anymore, Sean. Also, their lease with Hilton is up. They are now the Las Vegas Hotel, the LVH.
That's so weird.
Yeah, nothing will change. But anyway, so our friend Steve, who you know, he's very analytical, we'll say. He had bet the under in sacks. So watching him see two sacks on the first drive of the game.
What was the over-under in sacks? 5.5?
4.5.
4.5. Wow. So two sacks in the first drive. That is not good.
Yeah. But, yeah, so anyway, so cut to the, you know, first Weatherford comes out, hits an awesome punt, pins him down to the 5-yard line. And this is kind of where it's like, all right, D, let's step up. And I'll ask your opinion because the first play, obviously, Brady drops back. Justin Tuck gets some pressure on him. He has some time, but then Justin Tuck gets some pressure, and Brady clearly throws the ball away in the end zone for the intentional grounding and safety. So what was your take on that play?
Oh, my take? I was just like, what the fuck was that? I was just shocked. I mean,
Did you have any complaints with the intentional grounding call?
With the call? No, I mean, it was the right call.
I've heard people say that, oh, well, they don't know if the receiver ran the wrong route. Normally, I would be cool with that, but Branch had clearly run. He's running across the middle, and Brady overthrew him by, like, 25 yards.
Yeah, it was weird because for the intentional grounding, you don't ever see it in between the hash marks like that. You know, you see it outside. So it's kind of a weird – and you don't see them making that call in the Super Bowl ever. So I was surprised that the call was made.
It's a ballsy call by the officials. It was
– Yeah, no, like I was surprised that the call was made, and I was kind of pissed that it was made, obviously, having 7-3 in the boxes. And
really
like immediately I just knew, why did I not bet safety first score? Because it was just like – I mean, obviously you should have bet it because it was a huge bet to hit. I was like probably either 50 or 100 to 1, depending on, you know, kind of where you got it type thing. But, I was surprised at that call, to be honest. Because it's like one of those things you can make an argument, yeah, maybe he just stopped his route short. It's just weird. You just never see him you get an intentional grounding over the middle like that.
The most telling thing was watching the inside the NFL highlights, the NFL films highlights, which, by the way, it's like they split it into two halves. It was like a 20-minute movie. It was so epic. Brady and me, after the play, they're looking at the pictures, and Brady's like, yeah, I felt Tuck coming, and I had nowhere to throw it away. Like, so clearly it was intentional grounding. I think... But yeah, that certainly set the tone, and there were a couple of people in the room, and one of the guys we were out there with who had bet, I think he put $20 on his first score will be a safety at like 50-1.
Yeah, $1,000.
So this dude was losing his shit, and it was just like, oh my God, how do you know? Like, it's the same thing, right? Like, it's the super sucker long shot bet. How do you not bet it?
Yeah, well, some guy, I guess, bet $1,000. They had it on Yahoo at 50-1, and now he's donating it to charity. God, what a...
If you're putting $1,000 on that bet, like, how much are you wagering on the game?
Yeah, he must be a super wealthy
guy. It might have
been
Birdman.
Yeah, Birdman. Haven't heard any from Birdman, the rapper, who said he was going to throw $5 million on the Patriots because of his boy Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Supposedly
his nephew,
50.
His
yeah,
nephew.
Oh yeah, sorry. And supposedly 50 Cent was going to throw like $2 million on the
Which,
Giants.
By the way, another thing I picked up in the highlight, Tom Brady calls Ben Jarvis Green Ellis Benny.
Benny? Benny, you know, he cut when he should have zagged.
Come on, Benny, get over here.
All right, so then what happens?
This is where I'm excited. I'm enjoying the game. They punt to the Giants. Eli drives him down. And so then, you know, we have the second kind of controversial holy shit play, which is pass the Cruz down on the 10-yard line. He gets stripped, fumbled the ball, but the Patriots have 12 men on the field.
Yes, that was when the intentional grounding safety call and the Victor Cruz fumble being called back for 12 men on the field, those two plays back-to-back, then I knew it was over.
So
I knew it was over.
Now, I have a real issue with these Patriots fans, like, considering that a Giants break. It's like, no, you ran 12 men on the field. The Patriots, it's like, I don't know. That was a ridiculous – they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that you could make an argument that the Giants recovering their fumbles like that was kind
That's
of more
a
of a break.
Yeah, they fell on some fumbles. That's a break. But having 12 – anyway, so Giants score. Victor Cruz first touchdown. I, of course, had Mario Manningham and Akeem Nicks, the other two receivers. But, again, watching it in Vegas was pretty exciting just because every time something relevant happened, people had money on
yeah,
it and
so
they were losing their shit.
You had some reaction. That's got to be awesome.
So that was fun, and then so what was the tone in the Hollywood party?
Hollywood party 9-0.
At this point,
well,
9-0.
There was a couple.
Did we have any real fans of the Patriots here?
No, there's no real Patriots fans.
Couple Giants fans.
I was probably the most vocal Patriots fan, laying 2.5 points.
Yeah,
and 9-0. I was like, oh God, here. But I just had a feeling that I was just excited still that I could. Well, I was excited because I had the first half under. I had the $100
Which
on
we,
that.
We both liked that. That was a strong play.
That was a strong play, first half under. And I was thinking, like, okay, if the Giants are up 16-0, there's a good middle opportunity here. So I was kind of thinking that going in from there. The couple Giants fans that were here, they were getting pumped, I guess. You know, whatever that means. And I was, you know, this was, we're talking 7-8 beers right here. Getting pretty sloshed. I mean, I don't remember. I started blacking out, I think, mid-second quarter. Like, I don't remember. I mean, it's weird. Like, I ended up blacking out really bad after the Super Bowl was over. But I don't remember any of the halftime. Don't remember any of the commercials.
So here's where it gets interesting for me. I am, like I told you, I'm pretty fucked up. At this point, I had stopped eating for a while.
Yeah.
And just been drinking. And I was
but
like,
the adrenaline of having your team in there has got
to
be.
But I go, oh, my God. I stood up to celebrate when Cruz scored. A guy we were there with had Cruz for his touchdown. We're high five and whole nine. And I'm like, oh, my God. I think I might vomit. So I go, immediately go get some chicken fingers with some ranch.
Oh, God.
Settle the stomach. Everything's cool. So then the Patriots get the ball. I believe the drive started in the first quarter. We're going to the second quarter. I skipped one big thing, and it was the a lot of action on first commercial. Will it be Bud Light or the field?
And it was Bud Light, correct?
Well, there was a lot of controversy because it was Bud Light Platinum.
Yes.
And people were trying to claim that wasn't Bud Light. A lot of controversy.
Now, what is Bud Light Platinum? I saw it at CVS. It's just like, it's 6% Bud Light.
All right.
6% alcohol?
It's not like Zima or something?
I don't know. I just know it's a higher alcohol content.
So anyway, we're getting to, we're in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Patriots drive down, and the Giants kind of hold them again. And at this point, I'm feeling good. They held them a field goal. It's 9-3. I'm like, all right. Patriots can't score. The Giants are going to drive down and get points here. And I believe this is the drive that – I want to say this is the one – is this the one Manningham was out of bounds and they had to punt? Whatever. I'm looking at the drive chart right now.
I'm trying to forget this Giants game ever happened.
Go whatever and out. Yeah, exactly. I was really drunk. Patriots go 3-and-out. Giants get the ball back. Now, this is the time that Eli goes deep to Manningham. Slightly underthrown, Manningham goes up, hits him in both hands, he drops it, drive over, they punt again. So now there's 4 minutes left in the second quarter, and Tom Brady just fucking takes his dick out and just drives down the field, scores a touchdown with like 8 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing I mean, overall, obviously you're disappointed, but I felt like my take on the game was pretty strong, and that was...
At this point, I'm freaking out.
A lot of, you know, they can methodically move the ball with the checkdowns and that. And really, it came down to those last couple drives. And that's what I've been saying the whole time, and that's how it worked out. Obviously, you know, you want to be on the right side of the money there with the team. But I felt like my take on the game and what we were talking about, how we saw kind of coming out, I think we were kind of right on the money.
So I had a Giants plus one under 27 first half bet, which I was cashing. And somehow the Giants pushed the...
Giants plus one?
Giants plus one parlayed with the under for the first half.
Oh, okay.
Which,
oh, yeah, because they
got backdoored at the last second. So anyway, I'm freaking out. The Giants own time of possession. They were the better team. They probably should have been up by 10 points.
And yeah, it felt like the tide shifted right before halftime.
It felt
like
it should have, at a minimum, been 12-3.
Well, now, here's where I come in, because I have a decent amount on the Patriots, at least for me, and... I'm laying Patriots 2.5. Now they're up by one. And so it's this weird thing where the halftime line that I was getting was Giants plus two. So there's a chance the Patriots could
win by a point.
Win by a point.
And you
and I would
both
be,
ways.
Yeah, I could lose both. So I was like, and they're up by a point right now.
Yeah.
Feels like kind of a low scoring game, so I didn't end up taking the Giants for the second half.
So another huge wager that our friend Steve had, or not huge, but one of his big bets was he had Eli Manning over under 1.5 yards first rushing attempt. So being that Tom Brady left 8 seconds on the clock, Giants received the kickoff and Eli kneeled it down. Another classic moment.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Kneeling down counts?
Yep, that's a rush.
Yeah, no, that's awful.
So we go to halftime. Like Sean said, the line was 2. I believe the over-under was 27 again.
Yeah, I was almost thought of taking the over because that's what my initial play was, under first half, over second half. But then something was just like, this is kind of a weird game. I'm just going to lay with the Patriots 2.5 and hope for the best there.
So I walked out, had no plans to go and actually wager on the second half, and decided.
Who are you trying to convince?
I didn't. I stayed away. I sat at this the slot machine that had a view of a TV over a bar, watched Madonna perform, and like chain smoked 4 cigarettes.
Here's annoying.
And immediately felt like shit.
Everyone goes, oh, she looks so good for 50. But couldn't we find a chick, if they're not going to actually sing, couldn't we find a chick that just looks good for 20? Why?
Yeah, no, but I get it, though. She's icon. I, I actually have less of a problem with Madonna than I did with, like, Tom Petty, right? I don't know.
Wow, right.
Yeah, but who gives a shit about Tom Petty? Like, at least, like, chicks are watching the Super Bowl. Guys who like Bruce Springsteen are watching the Super Bowl. Not fucking hippie, like, kind of stoner burnouts that like Tom Petty. I don't know. Anyway.
Last Dance, yeah. Mary Jane. Everyone always complains about the Super Bowl halftime. I think it's tough.
It wasn't bad. The biggest question I have, first of all, will her hair be blonde -400 hit? But is CeeLo gay? He's a gay guy, right?
Like, yeah. I it seems like he's a gay fella. Yes.
It's this weird debate where everyone's like, I think he might be, but I don't know.
I don't know.
He was in Gnarls Barkley, right?
In the entertainment world, I feel like if you're kind of on the fence, it's a safe. The safe money is on gay.
Yeah, so anyway, halftime happens. It was nice and long. Helped me kind of maintain and just be like, all right, they're not that bad. They just got to make a stop to start the first or the second half. And, of course, Tom Brady comes out and, again, like nothing, just goes right down the field. And at this point, I'm like, motherfuckers. And, yeah, I'm in a bad state right at this point. I think I decided to do a shot of Patron.
Yeah, this is right when I start breaking out the shots. I found some leftover whiskey and was convincing chicks to do shots. And they're like, no, not a full shot. So I was like, all right, baby shots. So I was just pouring little baby shots. But, you know, just keep giving it to them. So, well, yeah, I was getting everyone hammered.
We also forgot to mention that the first quarter and halftime had the exact same score for Super Bowl squares.
Right.
So, which is 9-0. It's always annoying if it's not you watching someone win twice.
Yes, it is. But you can't. You can't help. You can't be a complete hater. And
so at this point, in my Super Bowl pool, which is $30 a square, one person has won $900 for the first quarter and the halftime, and one person has won $200 for the reverse. So now Tom Brady scores. Giants get the ball back. They drive down and they get into field again. They get down there and it's just like a shitty play call combined with I think there's a penalty in there, and then
another thing that I pointed out that I thought, you know, the Giants' offensive line, I wouldn't say, I don't know, didn't really have a great game. I thought New England did an okay job of getting to Manning.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they only ran out to him a couple of times, and most of it was early, but they didn't run the ball. The Patriots were daring them to run the ball. Their safeties weren't anywhere near the line of scrimmage, and they weren't. So Giants settle for a field goal. Patriots get the ball back. Don't do shit. I'm like, all right, I'm feeling good a bit. And they three and out him again. They sack. Tuck sacks Brady. And appears to have injured him. He went down. It was the same. His left arm, his non-throwing arm.
A pussy time.
So at this point, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling like, okay, the defense has made the stop. They've hurt Brady. Justin Tuck bows to the crowd. All is right in the world. So the Giants get the ball back, and again, they drive down, and I think this is the one with the bullshit holding call on Will. I don't remember when that happened. At this point, I'm very drunk.
Yeah, I'm kind of in and out right here.
Giants settle for a field goal with 35 seconds left. We're actually one of the guys in my Super Bowl pool who had 5-7 sitting there, and so he starts going crazy, because you get 5-7, you're not expecting to win shit.
No, not
so,
at all.
So, you know, clock runs out, boom. 5-7 cashes. I can't remember that ever happened.
Now, see, 5-7 was interesting for me because I
35-27?
I had Patriots 7, Giants 3. That was the one I actually thought about. But then I also remembered I had Patriots 4, Giants 5. So I'm thinking, okay, if the Patriots end up winning 24-15,
wow,
Sean Green gets paid always.
Yeah, so you're seeing those dollar signs.
Oh, dude, I'm licking my chops.
So again, so the Patriots have the ball to start the fourth quarter, and a play happens that was very reminiscent of the Tyree play in 2008. Brady comes back, and Chris Canty or Pierre Paul literally has the ball, and Brady manages to hold on to it, rolls out, rolls to his right, and just heaves it downfield, almost identical to the Eli Manning.
Oh, really? It took me back.
And Chase Blackburn, substitute teacher to start the season, gets signed week 5 or week 6, turns around and just hustles back, looks back for the ball, jumps up, and out jumps the hobbled Gronkowski for the interception. I would say this is probably the number two key play to the game.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say this one and then Mario Manningham.
Yeah, touch, that would be number
catch
one.
Catch B, obviously number one.
And the Welker drop is big, too.
Well, all right, let's fast forward to the Welker drop. Now, I don't even – they say it was a drop, but really
– Well, so
– Brady threw him on the wrong shoulder. I mean, if you watch that again, Welker, he threw it like – Welker was going one way, and then he had to completely turn around and got his hands on
it. Here's the thing. It was a bad throw. It was a
but
bad,
it's a play you expect Wes Welker to make.
It's a bad throw by Brady standards. It still hit him in both hands.
Yeah.
Professional wide receivers catch the ball when it hits him.
And it's a white
hands.
Guy thing because that's why he's in there.
Yeah.
He's got to catch the ball. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could necessarily say it was a definite drop. But
so anyway, at this point, at the point of the drop, we're talking about
Patriots going in, getting it 24-15, ending the game right there.
I mean, they get that. I mean, if you in the NFL films highlight, they show it, and if he throws that in stride, Wes Welker scores.
Yeah.
As is, they stop the clock. It's now fourth down, I believe. Or that might have been third down. The Giants then make a stop. Oh, it was. It was second down, and then third down, they throw that pass to Deion Branch that Kenny Phillips gets his hand on. So fourth down, they have to punt. And now this is where the game changes, and once again, Eli Manning is the man. Eli drops back. With Wilford coming into his face, he kind of takes a step to his left and just heaves this perfect pass down the sideline. Mario Manningham makes, I don't know, would you say, in recent memory, can you think of a better... I know people are saying that Tyree catch is better. It's not better. That was lucky. The only catch I can think of is maybe the Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, that was the only one I was thinking of recently.
He makes this catch where he's being basically tackled from the guy behind him. Chung is coming to hit him, catches it 2 feet in, maintains control as he hits the ground. When this play happens, I don't know. This was the moment. I'm like, all right, Eli's
gonna
do it.
Yeah, I knew it was over.
So they drive down, and then this is also when Nick's was in beast mode most of the game. They couldn't cover him.
Well, yeah. Now I'm in a tough place here because it's 17-15.
Yeah.
So I'm not covering my 2.5.
At this point,
like,
you know you're fucked. I'm totally
screwed. Either the Giants are going to win by one, or Patriots are going to win by two. I don't know what's worse.
So the Giants continue to drive down, and then they throw on second and four. Clock's running down to I don't know. Maybe we have like a minute and a half left. Knicks catches the ball and gets the first down, but gets forced out of bounds. And I'm like, God, what? Like, Knicks is not a bright guy. He got like a 6 on the Wonderlic. He's really good at catching the ball, but he's not good at that book learning. But
yeah.
So he does that. Clock stops. Patriots have 2 timeouts, I believe. So it's first and goal. Giants run the ball. They call a timeout. There's like, minute 4 left. Giants run the ball again. And again, in the NFL films highlights, they show the defense saying, okay, let them score, let them score.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the only play.
Anyone who says that's the wrong. Now, on the same token, I think scoring is the right move. I don't care what anyone says. Too many moving parts in a extra point. You score, they scored, 2 touchdowns. Your defense can stop them. They got to go 80 yards in 50 seconds with 1 timeout.
Well,
I think it's,
I don't know.
Statistically,
I don't know.
The Patriots' chances improved when John
scored
a touchdown.
I like kicking a 20-yard field goal and not giving Tom Brady the ball back. I like those odds better.
I disagree. Give me the points. I'll take the Giants' defense.
Well, either way, Ahmed Bradshaw agreed with me, but he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
And he stopped on the 1-yard line and then fell in. I was like, oh, my God, this is a sign. They're going to drive down.
So this is where it gets interesting. So they score the touchdown. It's now 21-17.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
And I'm sitting there at this point. I know I have the numbers. I know I have 1 for the Giants, 7 for the Patriots. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, is there any chance they go for 2 to try to make it a 6-point game? Kind of give them a shot if the Patriots do score a touchdown.
Well, now here's the thing. Because if the Giants make this 2-point, then it's 23-17, and they end up winning the game and hitting my numbers. But I didn't even think about that. I was hell bent on the Patriots covering the 2.5, so I'm rooting against
interesting.
It. So that if the Patriots go down and score, it's 24-21, they cover the 2.5. So I didn't even think about that.
We essentially had a $1,300 bet on will they make the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
So
and I lost.
They come out with a classic like It almost seemed like they didn't want to get the two-point conversion. They run some horrible, like, off-tackle play. They don't get it, and I'm like, holy shit, this can't be happening. The Giants are going to win the Super Bowl, and I'm going to win the squares pool at $1,300. So anyway, I at this point, it was eerily similar. Brady gets the ball on, like, the 20-yard line, going the same way as an 08, and second or third down, boom, Justin Tuck comes in for a sack, just like Jay Alford did 5 years ago. So at this point, I'm feeling good. And on a fourth down, Pierre-Paul almost sacks him. He manages to convert fourth down. And, you know, they move the ball a little bit. And then there's that weird play with, like, 18 seconds left. They go on, like, a mini Hail Mary, but the Giants had 12 men on the field. But there's no rule against putting the time back on the clock. So basically, they ran off, like, 9, 10 seconds.
Yeah, that is a bad
play. I have a feeling they'll change that rule to where, you know, because why not always have 12, 13 men on the field at the end of the game?
Yeah.
So then it comes down to the Hail Mary, and that was fucking close.
That was a close was Hail close. Mary. And, yeah, that was really close.
The fact that Brady Brady was getting pressured. He almost got sacked on that play. He heaved it, and I don't understand why the defensive backs don't bat it backwards out of the end zone. Kenny Phillips went up and kind of batted it to the side, and Gronkowski dove and just was too late. But
that was close, man.
So that happens, and then it kind of hits me like, okay, Giants just won the Super Bowl. I won a copious amount of money on my wagers. I just won, for the first time in my life, I won a Super Bowl square, final score.
And I had been drinking all this vodka and cranberry and just, like, trying to forget about the game. Then I get a call from you like, hey, dude, I hit the squares, too. I was like, oh, awesome. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like blackout drunk. Yeah. And just like, no one wants this to be over.
But yeah, it was.
All right, Ryan. Well, congratulations. The worst record of all time has won now, this Super Bowl.
We need to talk about this though. Now, as a Philadelphia Eagle fan,
sure,
you can't be happy that Eli Manning is this clutch. You can't be happy.
No, why would I be, Ryan?
That Eli Manning has two Super Bowl MVPs. He's on a list of five people ever to have two or more MVPs.
I still don't think he's good. I was just walking around stunned, just going to people. How does he have more Super Bowls than Peyton Manning? How is that possible? How is this happening?
I was just
watching on SportsCenter, and just like the look on his face, he just looks like this cowardice retard hayseed.
He has.
It's like, how does this guy have any sort of thoughts going through? He's looked so awful. He set like a record for interceptions last year. He's not a good quarterback. It just is annoying.
Man,
why would I be excited about this, Ryan? I'm not.
He's got twice
purple Gatorade hit. Everyone lost their Gatorade bets.
Twice as many Super Bowls as his brother. He's now 2-0 versus the Golden Boy, Tom Brady.
That is crazy.
He beat Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay on the way to do it. I don't know.
Well, now it's just the NFL is turning in the NHL. The regular season is completely meaningless.
Well, the Packers did it last year. The Steelers.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Now it's just like there's so much parity now. You're not going to get a dominant team. It's just whoever's hot at the end of the year.
So now rank your top quarterbacks. Where does Eli Manning fall?
I don't know. He's probably 11, 12.
It's like
you got Mike Vick, Drew Brees. Tom Brady.
Rodgers, and Brady. And then what? Then is Manning in there with Roethlisberger and Rivers, maybe?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
How is he the best? How is he better than his brother? It's insane. damn it.
Yeah. Great moment.
Oh, it's just such a bad. I'm just so angry that football's over. Well, I just tried to eat myself to death and just drown in 7-layer dip.
That's the best. Well, that's the worst part about, especially when you lose a bet on the Super Bowl, is knowing that you have nowhere to get it back next week.
Nope.
Unless you're going to wager on some NBA or, you know.
Sunday morning, I'm just going to have to wake up at 10 a.m., just start drinking beers and just gambling on golf.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, let's just take a look at some of the NBA games here real quick.
I should point out one last thing. So I took some of my profits. And I went to Caesars on our way out of town, and I placed the night. This is the first year that I can remember being an adult and not having a Giants to win the Super Bowl bet. It's just frustrating. So I went and put $300 on the Giants at 12-1 for next year.
They're 12-1?
Yeah.
How are the Eagles 6-1?
I don't know.
God. Can't even get a good odds on the Eagles.
Yeah. So I have, you know, we'll visit that next year. But yeah, so basketball. I don't know. So,
well, first off, Jeremy Lin, your homie from China, is just tearing it up for the Knicks right now.
Well, is he actually from China, or is he just like an American?
Chinese-American.
Yeah, went to Harvard.
Just a Chinese baller, man.
Undrafted. Played
in Los Angeles, you see a lot of Chinese guys who are real into balling. Latin and Chinese guys love balling out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but they're
not
very good. We fuck them up in our rec league. It's not like we're talking about Jeremy Lin here.
No, we're not. It's impressive just to see an Asian guy out there tearing it up in basketball. All right, Ryan, let's just make a few NBA picks and wrap this up here.
I don't know. So there aren't too many. We'll go through. So Atlanta-Orlando, maybe a notable game. Orlando seems to have gotten past Dwight Howard being dealt. I don't think – what's crazy to me is they're hosting the All-Star game this year. He's clearly going to be on the team when the All-Star game happens.
When's the trade deadline? Just after?
I believe it's after, but that's just a bad marketing move, right? Like you're having the hero come to the
yeah. –
anyway. So Orlando is favored. Neither team coming off of a back-to-back. Orlando's favored by 5 at home against Atlanta. Interesting thing it's 4.5 now. Interesting thing about Atlanta, Tracy McGrady looks actually decent. I was watching some highlights last night.
Is it 4.5 or is it 5?
It's 4.5.
Well, with Orlando, it all comes down to three-point shooting. All comes down to their three-point shooting. They were on fire against the Heat. I think they cool off. Give me Atlanta in 4.5.
Yeah, this is clearly an Orlando play. Atlanta's not a good road team.
You like Orlando?
I like Orlando.
All right.
Another interesting matchup, Clippers traveling to Philadelphia to take on the new look Doug Collins led
Sixers, man. It's the truth.
Lob City going into shit city.
Well, speaking of shit city, the Clippers just lost to the Cavs without Kyrie Irving.
Talk about, I couldn't have felt better about a bet before the season. I had Cavs under 16.5 wins.
They already got like 11 or 12, right?
That's not looking good at all. But another note, I have Clippers to win the West, even money. To win the division.
Well, how much are they up on the Lakers right now?
A couple games, but let's be honest. The Lakers did beat Boston in Boston tonight, but the Lakers, Kobe Bryant is playing 45 minutes a game.
There's no way he's going to last.
I know he got some magic German like Nazi juice in his knee, but that's not gonna maintain.
No, can't.
Anyway, Philadelphia is laying 4.
Wow, that's tough.
Now, I think people are a little concerned about the Clippers since someone sniped Chauncey Billups from the rafters and blew out his Achilles. But and I know Philadelphia is really deep and they've been playing really well. But God, this Clippers team Chris Paul. I think people forgot how good Chris Paul was.
Yeah,
he's so
as
good.
Much as I am a Sixers fan and I like this team. I think
as much as you're a Sixers fan.
Yeah, I like the Sixers. Okay. Yeah, I like them when they're good. And I like the Clippers. I enjoy the Clippers. But let's see. I'll take the Clippers here getting 4. I think I think you got to rebound after that loss against the Cavs.
I think
Cavs.
They come out playing hard, and maybe we'll see a nice dunk from Blake. God, it's crazy that, man, we have to watch. This is all we get to bet on for, like.
Well, there's the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Yeah, maybe we have to look into doing that.
Although first day is already gone, so maybe we can get some action on Saturday or Sunday with Tiger.
So another nice matchup here is Dallas, the Mavs, defending champs, Mavericks coming in, playing the new look Minnesota Timberwolves, led by Rick Adelman,
Rubio,
and rookie sensation who someone on this podcast might have at 7-1 to win Rookie of the Year.
Wow, nice.
I'm feeling pretty good about it. I know Irving is probably getting a little more press, but I think if Minnesota can make a playoff run, I have a shot. So anyway, Dallas in Minnesota. Dallas is laying 2. Give me Minnesota. I like this. Have you watched them play at all, Sean?
Yeah, no, they're fun to watch.
They are my new favorite team to watch. They have Rubio. They have... They have Kevin Love, who stomped on someone's face.
He might
still be suspended for this game, actually.
Yeah, I like going against Dallas this year. I've never seen a team just all of a sudden just looks so old and wanting to phone it in.
I that was one of the reasons.
Dirk missed time because of conditioning.
I mean, look, you have to let your guys rest. That's another reason Kobe should not be playing every game.
Yeah, it's this weird schedule, weird season.
I took the under on Dallas, actually, and I took the over on Minnesota. The over on Minnesota was 23.5 wins. I think they already have like 13.
Yeah, they're looking pretty solid.
Dallas,
I think
Dallas has to get to like 44 wins or something. They're not getting there.
Nice. Looking good.
Yeah, I got – and then the last – well, there's a couple – two more games we can talk about. The Lakers traveling to New York to play Linsanity. And the New York Knickerbockers. This is –
And Melo's going to still be out, right?
Melo is out, and Amari is at a funeral for his older brother who was killed in some sort of high-speed chase. Whatever happened there.
It's crazy.
In classic fashion, a Mike D'Antoni team is better without a ball stopper like Carmelo Anthony. And they've actually been playing well. Lakers are laying 3.5 in New York.
Yeah, I like New York getting points at home.
Yeah, New York Lakers on a back-to-back overtime game in Boston.
Tough
minutes. Why not take New York? Although they've been tremendously disappointing this year. And then lastly, we can talk about Oklahoma City and Utah, mainly just because Oklahoma City just looks unstoppable. I don't see how they don't play in the finals this year. I know I might have a wager on the Spurs to win the West at like 25-1 and feel all right about it. But
yeah, Spurs are just kind of one of these teams that are just kind of hanging around.
I think they'll be there in the finals.
How is Tim Duncan still in the league?
How is Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, or Kobe Bryant still in the league? I mean,
yeah.
Pretty remarkable that Kobe has that many minutes, that many games. I mean, Kobe has been in the postseason every year of his, 15, 13 years, whatever he has?
Yeah, and Olympic teams. It's been a crazy run for Kobe.
Kobe's a badass. Anyway, Oklahoma City, laying two in Utah. Always tough to go to Utah on a back-to-back.
Yep, deceiving.
Oklahoma City lost to Sacramento tonight, who's another sneaky good team at home. Oklahoma City laying two. The thing is that Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are superhuman.
Yeah, I like OKC here.
And they just seem to really just dominate.
Give me OKC, Ryan.
But yeah, it's been an interesting season. I think so far you kind of have to say it's going to be Oklahoma City and probably playing
the Sixers,
Miami or Chicago. I think it's definitely gotten interesting with Indiana has taken a step forward with the craziest offseason story of them all, where their swingman Paul George was listed at 6'8 last year. He measured in at 6'10 this year. He grew 2 inches in the offseason.
That is
like
crazy.
21-year-old. They've stepped forward. Philly stepped forward.
And Orlando's still kicking around, although I don't think they'll have Dwight.
I think it could be
a
weird playoffs where I think Miami or Chicago could have to play Boston in the first round, and that. I know Boston's old, but that's still a tough out.
Yeah, but they have pride in the playoffs.
They still, you know. And then
Rondo still looks good.
Will Rondo get traded? There's all this talk about Gasol for Rondo.
Oh, wow, that'd be interesting.
I don't see how the Lakers, that'd be like the Yankees and Red Sox trading. They just hate each other. I don't see it happening. But it seems that, I don't really understand why Boston wants to get rid of Rondo.
They wanted
so
to get rid of Rondo forever, and it seems like, isn't that the guy that bridges the gap between this old team and younger, newer team?
Name me five better point guards. It's hard to do. You got Chris Paul, you got Darren Williams, you got Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and he's in that top five. Where are you going to get the upgrade?
I don't know.
Maybe it's they think that's their only asset that's tradable, and you need to blow up the team and get rid of him too.
It sounds like they want to blow it up and start again.
Just move Rondo because it's like what? But I mean. In this NBA, you need to have a good player. Otherwise, you're not going to get free agents. Who's going to sign with the Celtics once the big three's gone and Rondo's gone?
It's so hard, dude. Basketball's all about that one guy.
They're so gay for each other, these NBA guys.
Look what Derrick Rose did for the Chicago franchise.
Yeah,
guy.
And then look what Chris Paul did for the Clippers.
Oh,
one guy, and then every other dude starts playing better, and they get around. There's only five guys on the court, so one guy makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, Ryan. Well, we're going to get through these next couple weeks a little slow, but we got the NBA, maybe getting into some NHL here.
Oh, that would be fun.
Some college basketball. Great.
Well, college basketball is coming up on – we're nearing the fun time of the season where conference play.
Championships.
We're right in the middle of conference play, and you know we're a couple weeks from conference championships.
Great game between Duke UNC the other night.
Doc Rivers' son's a badass. I mean, for years you've read about him playing in the LA like gym leagues with pros and lighting it up, but man, he's a badass. And also Stephen Curry's kid brother plays on the team. So although I'm gonna go, well, a couple of things I'll say about the tournament. I like betting against Duke in the second round and the first round, but mostly the second round. I don't think they're that good this year. And Murray State, unfortunately, lost. They were the last undefeated team. They lost tonight to Tennessee State, I believe. I was really hoping they'd go into the tournament undefeated, be a 3 seed maybe, and they're not good. They haven't played a top 50 team, I don't think.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a team I can't wait to bet against. But in North, you know what? North Carolina, I know they lost to Duke. That team is good. That's going to be a team Yeah, that's going to be a team that I think is going to be a definite bet on team. And I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan State makes a run this year. I've started doing some of my research for our yearly March Madness Vegas trip.
All right. A lot of action to look forward to. As always, thank you for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Click the Amazon link. You can bookmark that link. Appreciate the support there. Of course, we're on Stitcher as well. You can just get the app for your phone. You don't have to download the episodes. You can stream them all. Good times there. And, of course, winthetrophy.com. You go over there, winthetrophy.com. STG is the referral code there. Of course, I'm at Green Room Show on Twitter. He's old Ryan Real Money Kramer's at Kramercentric. So, for myself, Sean Stacking the Green, and for Ryan...
Go Giants. And I should note, my fantasy team this year was named Eli Manningham, so I knew
it was... Wow, fortuitous. Yeah,
that was a prediction.
Let it ride.